Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RC Plane Lab podcast. So we sent out invitations to the three candidates that are running for the president of the AMA, and we will be releasing episodes with the candidates that respond. Greg Stone was the first one to schedule time with us to record, so his is the first episode that we are releasing. We will also release episodes with the other candidates if and when we get a response from them. When I reached out to all of them, I requested about a 20-ish minute episode because I figured that was just enough time to get to know their history in the hobby and what their vision is for the future of the AMA. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Greg Stone. Let's get started.
Thanks, Ron. Yeah, so Greg Stone, I mean, looking, you know, really for everyone's support, you know, in this kind of, you know, ask as I look towards the AMA presidency. I've been part of the council for, let's say, 4 years now. I've been involved with, you know, the district and other operations rolling up to that for many more years. But also, I mean, a little bit about my background. I've been involved in model aviation for way too many years, 40, 50 years, you know, over 50 years, actually, going back to the early days with my dad, you know, as many have, you know, had some sort of youth involvement with family, you know, started back in control line era. You know, got into, you know, from there, actually, you know, shifted into model rocketry, then shifted into, you know, RC, you know, back in the early days, you know, so the old, little bit of escapement, but more when it, you know, started to just get into the, you know, single channel radio and, you know, 1+1 and all of that. And then, you know, that morphed much over the years through different avenues, whether it was, you know, expanding in RC, whether it was shifting to gliders, slope soaring. You know, I mean, I've done a little bit of everything. of course, you know, dropped out of it for, you know, a handful of years, you know, when the kids were young. It, I think, yep, kind of naturally happens with most. Yeah. And then that dragged me back in, you know, later on, you know, with the son who got involved and, you know, all of that. And so I've, you know, been heavily involved, you know, through really all facets over an awful lot of years, and just looking to see what I can do to help, you know, kind of grow the hobby.
Okay. And so you started then back when Nitro was the king.
The only thing.
What do you like to fly nowadays? Are you still an old Nitro guy, or have you moved on to something else?
Well, I you know, a few years back, you know, with, you know, the advent of course electric and gas coming along, I kind of shifted to electric and gas. Got rid of all of my Nitro stuff, but now I see it's about to come back. you know, I've been kind of, dragged down the path of, let's say Warbird Pylon Racing. And so, you know, picked up one of those planes, one of the Nitro engines. I'm going to have to relearn how to, you know, start and tune those engines, you know, after, yeah, having shifted, you know, electric simple. Gas is, not as hard as Nitro, I think. And, so yeah, it's still a little bit of everything, but, you know, for me personally, I've got pretty much everything from the little micro electrics through giant scale, whether it's, you know, large warbirds, whether it's large aerobatic and 3D aircraft, sailplanes, still have some control line. You know, want to kind of dabble back in that. I just, actually just picked up, one of the, I still have my old original handle from years ago. But picked up one of the remote handles now. So it's actually a basically a radio control line handle. So you can, you know, adjust engine speed and control other features like retracts and that on planes. So watched one of those fly a couple weeks ago, and I gotta kind of try everything.
Yeah, and that's a good way to be. You don't know what you like until you try it all. Right. But I will say with control line, I don't think that's anything I can get into because I would get so dizzy. Like I watch those guys and I don't, especially like the combats and stuff, I have no idea how they can handle that and not fall over and just puke.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not sure I could do combat, but stunt was a relatively safe one, and I think I could probably still do that today because I agreed. I'm not sure I could go around in circles too many times without falling over. But at least with stunt, you can kind of stop for a bit and do some loops and do some outside loops and some figure eights and not
untangle your lines. Right, exactly. So you said you're kind of into every aspect of the hobby. Have you ever flown turbines, or do you have your waiver or anything for that?
I have flown them. That's probably another area I'm going to get into very soon. I've got, people kind of, asking me when I'm going to get into that. And I've got some local resources. I have flown them. I don't currently have my waiver. So I'll probably be looking to do that, in the near term.
Nice. That covers about everything then.
Yeah. And see, the only thing that I'm dabbling in a little, but I'm very hesitant on is helicopters. I would say I am dangerous with those.
Yeah.
The little ones, I can hit walls and ceilings very easily. So, I've got one that has, flight control, stabilization, and pretty much auto land capability, so that I can kind of learn it properly,
right.
But I'm still scared of it.
Yeah, learn it without fear of having something very bad happen. Yeah, helicopters, and I know it's probably because I'm not around them too much, but helicopters scare me. Like, I'll be honest, like when they do TikToks and all that kind of stuff, it's just like, if that breaks apart, where are the blades going? But
where is everything going?
Exactly. That's why this is the RC Plane Lab podcast, because
yes.
We're heavily into airplanes, and I mean, really, we don't do much else as the group of guys that normally host this. So do you have a favorite part of the hobby that you have dabbled in, or that you seem to, or maybe like a favorite part that you try something new, but you always come back to a core type of airplane?
I'd say primarily just acrobatic. And I've kind of done everything. I mean, I even got into float flying a couple of years ago.
That is fun.
In that, again, acrobatic type planes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd say acrobatic and, the military, the warbirds, the heavy metal, P-47, P-51.
Yeah. So you're more into a scale type of airplane than...
Yeah.
Something,
and I picked up something, recently, or actually a couple of years ago, that I've kind of had an interest in, and I think it was an RC Modeler, way back when, as we kind of think about some of the older scale, was one of the early days of the CAP model. So mm-hmm. The French acrobatic planes. So I picked up, composite one of those to be built. So one of these days, I've got that kind of project stage.
Yeah.
But that aircraft with all the, not so much just straight lines, everything was curved on it. So it had some flair. And so, I've got that kind of in the hangar as something for, rainy day project.
Yeah. We all have rainy day projects, but the rainy days don't seem to be enough yet at this point to get to them all. So what kind of drove you to go from a modeler who really likes airplanes, who likes flying helicopters or whatever else, to wanting to run for the president of the AMA?
A handful of things. Some of it goes back to, club operations and, doing what's necessary there to support clubs and try and drive training programs, youth programs and that. As I think about, AMA over the years, I think we've lost our way a bit. We don't have as much or I'll call it sufficient focus on, youth and education and, we've got declining membership. We've really got to be working in those areas. And one of my passions that I've had for a lot of years, is kind of education. I'm not an educator by trade. I'm a finance person. So that's one of my roles within AMA is, work within the finance area. But one of the key things I've been involved in for a lot of years is different aspects of education as it relates to modeling. So as I've had kids come up through, you know, mostly once they got into middle school and high school is the National Science Olympic Foundation and that program. They've got a couple aircraft or helicopter-based programs that, you know, are part of the national competition. And so I got involved in supporting those and actually run one of the, you know, regional competitions here for the southern part of the state. And I've done that for, I'd say, going on, I think, 18 years. And then, you know, as kind of a follow-on to that, you know, as my son got into college and getting into engineering and that, I also found kind of the next level programs that really help drive a learning model and support for getting, you know, getting into college, getting through college, getting into internships and careers, you know, in mostly engineering, you know, background areas, be it, you know, electrical, mechanical, aerospace, structures, all of that. And that is the design, build, fly programs that are managed by industry out there. So SAE's design, build, fly, AIAA's design, build, fly. And they hold competitions, you know, here in the U.S., they're global competitions. So we'll get 100 universities, anywhere from 80 to 100 universities competing in those events internationally. And the big thing that can happen there is these students can learn a whole nother set of skills that they're not going to get, you know, purely from the book work in college. And that is, you know, kind of working as a team, you know, working towards a common goal that involves multiple disciplines. And I think we need to do a lot more to connect with those programs and help nurture students and youth into those as they see, you know, the extra benefits they can get from, you know, aiming for those things, whether it's, you know, through a high school program, getting into and, you know, figuring out, you know, what they can do and where they want to go in college or where they want to go in industry, you know, whether it's, you know, A&P, mechanic type work, whether they want to get into aerospace. We've got a huge need out there, but as you think about, you know, who gets hired, who gets the internships, who gets hired, it's the students that have these extracurricular, you know, engagements and activities, you know, that they've been involved in, whether it's, you know, getting into the internship and, you know, whether it's a Boeing or, you know, somebody like that. They're looking for the students that bubble to the top with some of these extra capabilities, you know, to work as teams and work cross-discipline in those areas. And so I want to see us focus more in those areas and help drive a lot of those aspects. And, you know, these are students that can, you know, dabble in model aviation. That's what these programs are. They get a plan each year for a type of mission that has to be flown. And so they've got to design an aircraft and flight plan around that, from an RC perspective, and work together as a team. And so I want to see us work more in that kind of youth area and across all youth. I mean, it starts down at the elementary level, you know, whether it's free flight, rubber powered, you know, hand launch, discus launch. There's lots of avenues to engage youth through all the different age groups and get them into model aviation. They may, just like me, they may disappear for a handful of years, but, you know, once you spark that interest, it can lead to, you know, long-term careers and they're going to come back.
Yeah. And one of the things too, I think that we have seen is the simplicity of the airplanes that are available now compared to what it would have been, you know, a yes. couple decades ago. You can get into the hobby at a young age and actually not have a ton of money tied up if you just have one or two planes and still be able to enjoy the hobby, without being so deep into it. Whereas before, to have, you know, one or two planes was a completely different level of what's the word I'm looking for? Level of
time and build commitment.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Just for keeping a couple planes going. So yeah, by getting into a younger generation, that would hopefully give them some reasons to kind of want to get in and stay for a little bit longer.
Absolutely. And that's another piece that I think we need to, again, we don't really have, from my perspective, and I think we need to get into, is that simpler, easier, a little bit more exciting aspect of what can be done at that youth level. They're looking, you know, they're not looking to build something that's going to take months and be, you know, elaborate, all of that. They're looking for the quick, simple thing that can be built, but something that can be done easily and creatively. Mm-hmm. You know, I looked all the foam board type things out there, you know, they're available. I mean, we can get somebody in cheap. They can get, you know, have it, you know, easily repairable. I mean, it's Dollar Tree foam board with, you know, a hot glue gun and, you know, create whatever type of aircraft you want. You know, the rest of the electronics can be sourced, you know, inexpensively. You're not putting $500 into an airplane that, you know, parents are going to be concerned about, you know, what's the spend and what's the longevity. Get them in cheap, get them excited, get them into all of the, there's lots of technology they can play with, from you know, cameras and autonomous flight. And, you know, they're into the programming pieces and the creativity. So, you know, let's also work on some of those opportunities and, you know, provide some of those resources there to, you know, help excite the youth more.
Right. Yeah. And that's a good thing to focus on, I think, because as you said before, and, you know, I can tell at the clubs that I belong to, the mean average age of the pilots that are there are not being replaced with younger ones. You have more, you know, moving on from the hobby than you do coming into it. So there's a decline.
Yeah, and to that, I mean, we really do need to spark some of that at the younger age, and there's different approaches I've seen, you know, take there, and different things that are coming up. I mean, I've got a very large club up in Northern California that has really embraced the youth aspect, and they've actually evolved to over 50 youth members, created their own board, their own events. And there's a lot to be said for really nurturing that. The other piece that I've seen spark a lot of interest, and it's crossing from the youth into, you know, some of the adults, is the whole 3D printing aspect.
Yeah.
You know, design your planes and design for the variable mission. I mean, they're creating planes that, you know, take off vertically and then transition to forward flight, you know, can carry payloads. There's all kinds of things that can excite and challenge, you know, these youth and also the adults, you know, with some of these newer technologies. And, you know, I think we need to share and do more, you know, with some of those new areas and the excitement that can be gained and interest from something new.
I agree. So do you have any other ideas or anything else? Like, give us your sales pitch. Why should we vote for Greg?
I think the main thing is that, from my perspective, we've a little bit, as I said earlier, lost our way. I think we've got to re-energize and refocus on youth, all aspects of youth, everything we can do to excite and nurture and grow that community. You know, everything we can do to strengthen membership, you know, across the board, you know, so not just youth. There's lots of avenues there that can be, you know, pursued. But we've got to really kind of come together as a hobby. We've had some issues over the years with, you know, collapse or loss of, you know, hobby shops, kind of the brick and mortar and everything being, you know, online. But the things are still out there. Things are still available. So we need to really focus on kind of youth education, membership growth, nurturing that. And the other piece there is build and support more for the clubs. You know, clubs don't always have all the ideas, but what we can do to share things that are working in certain clubs and give clubs the tools to, you know, help strengthen membership, strengthen involvement, you know, grow where they are, you know, can certainly help. And so I think, you know, we've got to broaden our reach, broaden the excitement that we can promote out there, and then do everything we can to, you know, instill interest in all age groups all the way up to really, you know, strengthen and grow the hobby.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Honestly, like when we first kind of started talking about doing this, I said I wanted to keep it around the 20-ish minute mark.
Yeah.
So we're good on that right now. But I don't want to cut you off. So I will say, if you have anything else you want to say, anything else you want to plug, feel free. But if not, I think, you know, we are at a good timing.
I think, you know, just maybe one final comment is, you know, while it's a buzzword STEM, you know, I think we certainly need to be, you know, be dabbling and focus in those areas. And again, through all of the age groups, whether it's elementary all the way up through college. And then, you know, on top of that, I just ask for everybody's support and, you know, kind of help me help them, you know, in kind of, you know, redirecting where we're going, you know, from the NAMA perspective.
Well, that sounds very good. And, I wish you luck and we will. Okay. Thank you. I know this is, I should know this offhand, but so ballots have to be mailed in by November 7th.
Yeah. They've got to be postmarked by November 7th.
And then when is the winner announced?
I would say it's probably going to be 7 to 10 days after that. We have to wait for the trickle in to kind of subside.
I got you.
And the counting will commence, and that likely will be done in a day.
Okay.
I'd say mid-November.
Mid-November we will know. Okay. Well, if there's nothing else you would like to add, I would like to just thank you then for coming on.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said, I should have done this earlier. I understand, but timing just doesn't always work out.
Everything gets in the way.
Oh, you can say that again. But anyway, so thank you very much for coming on. I do appreciate you taking the time out of your day to talk to us. And once this is up, I will send you a link and you will be able to share this with all your buddies and even people you don't know to try and get them to vote for Greg. In that case, I will say goodbye. And if you want to give the final words, we will take this out.
Great. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate your support. And as, again, ask for your vote. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the RC Plane Lab podcast. For topic suggestions, to ask questions, or to give any feedback, connect with us at rcplanelab.com or email us direct at either ron@rcplanelab.com or tom@rcplanelab.com. You can also text us or leave us a voicemail at 818-351-9846. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, may your landings be gentle.
To a squirrel like me, my nuts are precious. So I don't let just anyone hold onto them. Those traditional storage places, they don't do it for me. I use TaxiBox. They bring storage space straight to me when I need somewhere safe to store my nuts. And when I'm done, they can move them wherever I need.
Ooh, nice nuts.
Thanks. Some people think storage that moves is just plain nuts. I reckon it's out of the box. TaxiBox.